We're going to ask the teens, they can go head upstairs right now. At this time, we're going to take some knees before the Lord. Does anybody have any prayer requests on this side over here tonight? Brother Al. Autumn's got, okay. Sister Grim. As well as those needs that were mentioned just now. If we could just focus, pray for these needs, but there's a couple men that knew I was going to be filling in for Brother Wells tonight, and they were praying for me. And I believe God's going to do something here tonight. God's going to speak in a mighty way. I literally just got the mail fresh off the presses. It was 6:36 and I just got ready for church then. I'll explain that in a minute. I want you to anticipate during prayer time that God has a special word for right here tonight for us. So we're going to take these needs, these special unspoken requests, Bottom, Sister Grimm, anything else you can think of. Sister Shannon. Sister, okay. Okay. Definitely. You can remember Faith. I asked Kara. She talked to her sister last night, and she said she was upset. She's having a hard time at school right now. She's feeling the stress and pressure from school. And just pray for her. As a dad, I can't be there every second, but I could. You know what? I got a church body of my brothers and sisters. We could pray together for that need. And God just as much listens to that need as He does Sister Grimm when she's not feeling well, or Sister Kellum's unspoken request. God pays attention. There's prayers that I've seen God personally answer that we may have totally forgotten about 6 months later, and I hear about it at work. We bring these needs, and we have kind of short-term memory loss. We totally forgot that we even prayed for that, and then I hear of a testimony on the job, and God, he is not slack. He is aware, and He is in control, and He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Did you have something you wanted to say? Okay. Remember, Rachel isn't here tonight, I don't think. She downstairs. She came up and got prayed for. I don't know if anybody read her Facebook post that day that she, I tell you what, I was in tears. I was overwhelmed about that testimony. I said, you got to share that with the church. I said, you know, that was Facebook worthy, but that is congregation worthy. And that was encouraging. That was edifying. It touched my heart. Yeah. Right. All right. Our faith is contagious. Let's take these knees before the Lord right now. Lord, I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You're the God that is able, Lord. You're the God that knows, Lord. You said to cast our cares upon You, Lord, because You care for us, Lord. Those intimate details, those things, Lord, that nobody else sees, Lord. You know and You're aware of them, Lord. You're a God, Lord, that fills all time and space, Lord. You see the things that nobody else sees, Lord, things that nobody else may seem to care about, Lord, but we care about them, and we cast them before You here tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Sister Grimm and her body, Lord. Give her strength, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We're expecting healing in her body in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Sister Kellum, Lord, in Jesus' name. Those unspoken requests, Lord, You know them, Lord. You know them by name, Lord. You know the circumstance, and You know the name and the situation, Lord. And You're the God that is able in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. As these prayer requests come before You tonight, Lord, we're believing in Jesus' name, Lord, that there's going to be testimonies, Lord, that's going to follow, Lord, these prayer requests in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for Sister Doris, for strength, that You would encourage her, Lord, surround her with Your presence and Your love, and where she's at tonight in her home in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You. We praise You, God, Lord. May there be a spirit of expectation to rise up in Your house tonight, in Your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. May the holy fear and reverence fall upon, Lord, Your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You can be seated at this time. I'm going to carefully explain to you the events that led up to tonight in detail. I really didn't have time to even read what was given to me. So bear with me. We had spirit-filled worship. This is going to be a spirit-led message here tonight. So I'm going to let the Lord lead me right up to the very end when we leave here. He led me right up to this point. He's led me at the last couple of weeks. It was on the 16th of last month, Brother Wells gave me a call. It was about 9 o'clock at night. He asked me if I would teach this night because he had plans to head out of town on a business trip. And I said in faith, okay, because you know what? Lord, you provided before, you'll do it again. But in my human nature, I don't know what it is where I just kind of hesitate and I kind of push back. I said, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if, Brother Kelvin, do you get that way sometimes when you get asked? Because we don't take it lightly. This is a sacred thing to come up before you. And God is a God who fills all time and space. And I don't just want to fill this time, this particular time between 7 and 8 o'clock that we gather together here on a midweek. Some of you travel a lot further than others. And I just want this to be a God-filled time and space. You know, we feel his presence. We're aware of his presence. But, I want to hear a word from God also. And I need that. I need it in my life every day. Just like when I need something to eat after a while, I'm kind of not myself. You grab a, if you're not yourself, you might need to grab a Snickers bar so you can be yourself, right? We're kind of off in that way. And in the same sense, spiritually, if I'm not myself, spiritually, I need the Word of God. And I'm going to explain to this in more detail. And my prayer was ever since then, Lord, you're a God that fills all time and space, and this is your hour. This is his hour, really. And I want it to be his words to his people. And I'm thankful for the encouragement that we get from each other, from the brothers and sisters, as we come here every week on Sunday morning. And I remember Brother Kellum, he was scheduled, it was that Sunday of the 16th to teach Sunday school, I believe it was, following that that week off. And then the weather came, the storms came, snow wreaks havoc, and he's got to go to work. And it was like 2 weeks in a row, right? I believe it was like 2 weeks in a row. And after the second week, you weren't for sure what you were going to even speak on, right? You were kind of having second thoughts. And this whole time, the past 2.5 weeks, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. I don't know what, I'm not here just to kind of fill time and space. And he gets up, and the title of his message, The Discipline of Waiting. And I tell you what, after he just said that for the first 5 minutes of coming to church, I got everything I needed. I was full. I was like, thank you, God. I needed that. It was in that morning I was reading my devotional in Hosea 12, chapter 12, verse 6. I read this, and I'll give you two different translations. One is the NLT version, and it says, "So now come back to your God, act with love and justice, and always depend on him." That last part of that verse, when God said, always depend upon him, that stuck with me. So I put it in my favorites. I kind of tagged it with a little star on the Bible Gateway app. And I'm like, I'm going to say that. That was kind of fitting. That caught my attention. And that was at 8:30 in the morning, and I get here at 10 o'clock, and Brother Kellum's message was on the discipline of waiting. And I don't know if I have the King James version of that. Do you have it up there on the board? It says, "Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually." Waiting is not an easy thing sometimes. You know, it's nice when you have things in front of you, maybe that email dropped in your mailbox to prepare for something, you know. But when you're waiting and God is teaching you the discipline to wait before you react to do something, I want you to be still. I want you to be calm. I don't want you to move. Just be still. In our human nature, we don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. There's times when I feel like I'm okay, you know. I have that poise, and there's other times I get anxious. I'm like, come on. We were making peanut brittle last night, and we're like, get the 300. We got 18, 15, I don't know how many batches. They're like, why is one taking longer than the other batch? We're like, let's hurry up here. We all want to go home. But waiting, the discipline of it, having poise just to stand still. And God honors that. God honors us standing still and just not moving. You think, oh, that's so unproductive. He's like, I want you to stand still so I could show you and do things for you in your life that you're not able to do on your own. So that when that title went up on the screen, Brother Kellum, that was it. I felt like, you know what, that was worth a drive into church on Sunday morning. Like it wasn't worth it any other Sunday morning, but it was worth that drive this Sunday morning to me personally. I don't know if you ever felt like you got a word from the Lord right at the beginning. You're like, man, that was enough for me. I don't know what God has in store for me from after the first 10 minutes of the service, but that this was perfect. I remember driving on a men's conference. I drove 3.5 hours down to Effingham. I got in a hotel, and I went to a church in Herrick at the time. This was probably 7-8 years ago. And God spoke to me. Literally, they put up a video, and it was by David Wilkerson. It was called The Call to Anguish. And at the time, I didn't understand, like, intercessory prayer. And I don't know if anybody has tapped into intercessory prayer, and it doesn't make sense. You don't even know what you're doing at the time. I remember there was a time Brother Nathan Herod was here, and he and I was praying for a coworker that had some health issues. And I'm like, something caused me to just go in my, I'm at home, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I feel this heaviness in me. I got to run in my room, and I'm like, I put my face in my pillow. I started weeping, and I'm like, but you know what? I don't know what happened in the spiritual realm, but he showed up that night. We've talked about church. We've prayed together at break time. He showed up, and here's the thing. Your parents were here that night. 15 to 20 years before that, your dad gave that man a Bible study, Search for Truth Bible study. He didn't even remember him at first glance, but my coworker never forgot him. The power of intercessory prayer, that was he just showed me that. He's like, it doesn't make sense. And when you have a call to anguish and God may overwhelm you with something, and you start to pray in the Spirit. You don't know. Sometimes you don't even know what you're praying for. I remember Brother Suey, he's a bishop down in Herrick, and he said one time, I just went into 7-day fast, and I wasn't even hungry or nothing. He goes, I don't even know why I was fasting. I was like an intercessory fast and prayer. And he goes, I think it was for the nation. I wasn't for sure. But God will draw us that. And you know what? You're not going to make sense to some people. And you're definitely not going to make sense to somebody carnally minded. If you're spiritually minded, you can relate to that. That's why we can relate to each other. We can make sense one to another, because God will speak to us in ways where that made sense to me, and I could tell that to my brother and sister, and they don't think I'm out of my mind. You're like, it's okay to share that. I don't need therapy. I don't need some psychiatrist. I got my brothers and sisters here, and it's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. So. I did have that verse on here. He asked me last Wednesday, are you good for this Wednesday night? And I said, yeah, by faith. I said, I will be by then. I talked to Brother Mike last night after we made peanut brittle. I said, I don't even have a thought. Brother, I don't have a thought for tonight. I said, where do I go from here? That's how serious that this is taken. I believe Brother Wells, he will not waste our time. He's only going to speak what God lays him. He's a messenger. He's God's messenger. He bears the weight. I've been with him by himself, and we'd be working on things, and I'd be like, man, he's thinking about the church. He's thinking about the church body. He's thinking about the responsibilities. And it's like walking around with this big barbell on your shoulder, and it's a mantle. That's the weight that he's carrying. And he's thinking about that all the time. So as of last night, Brother Mike, I did not think of, I didn't have that thought. I'm like, Lord, where are you taking me to? Where are you leading me here tonight? I just want to listen to your voice. This afternoon, I came home from work early. 1 Samuel 3:3-8 says, "And ere the camp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered. He answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran into Eli and said, 'For thou hast called me.' And he said, 'I called you not. Lie down again.' And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 9, Eli told Samuel, 'If you hear the call again, say, Speak up, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" This got my attention in verse 10. It said, "The Lord came and stood and called." Samuel was in the house of God. He was there where God himself was standing in the presence of Samuel, in the house of God, standing there. I followed the leading of the Lord up to this point. I'm not going to divert. There's only one thought that kind of reoccurred, Brother Mike, since Monday night. And I want to share this thought with you. How many people go to the fair and they go in one of these buildings and you get one of these? Do you ever have them, they're like literally pushing this on you? I found four of these in my house. I don't know what to do with them all, to be honest with you. What do you do with it? You don't throw it away. It's a pile, you know. Like, I collect them, you know. There's little kind of, those little 30-second sermons that Brother Al and I, when we open up on a Sunday morning, we have printed or written out Bible verses on there. I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. I got an iPad now. I can just delete it. But I'm like, that's the Word of God. I don't want to just burn it or, you know. I'm like, I just have that respect for the Word of God. I don't want to mess with that. I think they have good intentions, to be honest with you, in handing these things out. But we have so much of these. We take it for granted that it's there. I have four of these right here, and I bet you if I went through my junk drawer, I could probably find another one or two. I had literally in my room, I have three of these. I had one in my closet. I had this one since high school. It's got to be in one of these because it would literally fall apart if I open it up. Two iPads. I have two Bible apps on each iPad. I have two Bible apps on my phone. It's there. It was in verse 1 of that chapter 3. It says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." And I looked this up. California would ban the Bible, the state assembly, if passed bill number 2943, if books express anything against these four teachings. Does that have to do with that? Okay. One is sexual morality. Two, same sex. Three, gender identity. And four, transgender. I didn't know. When you get on Facebook and you look at things, you don't know what's real or fake, if that was some kind of bait. That had millions of hits. That blew my mind. In a world of political correctness that we're in, they are very persuasive in intent to get their agenda and to protect and keep their agenda. To love God is to love what he hates. To love what he loves, but to hate what he hates. And a lot of times we get it right, but it's not even keel. I love the Lord. I love the presence of God. I love to feel his love. But am I hating what he hates? And I'm not here just to try to push what I just explained to you tonight. But how do I know what God hates? With two Bible apps on each device, four of these, not counting, I haven't even opened my junk drawer yet, three Bibles. How do I know what he hates? Does anybody know off the top of the head what God hates? We know what he loves. He loves us. He loves to share his, say that again. He hates lying, okay? Like I say, we can have this a group participation tonight because this is literally rant. Go ahead. He hates a haughty spirit. A proud heart. It's okay to hate that, right? If he hates it, is it okay for me to hate that? Do you think that would protect me to hate that? Yeah, it would. Me hating things that he hates is for my protection. Otherwise, where's the barriers? Where are the limits to what I would do? I could love him. I could feel his love. But if I don't hate what he hates, it is free range to do whatever I want to do Saturday before Sunday, right? If I don't hate things that he hates, I could walk freely into any other establishment and do what I want to do, see what I want to see, hear what I want to hear, act how I want to act. Does he hate that? Is that offensive? In a politically correct world, maybe. So? Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And Psalms 97:10 says, "Ye that fear the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints, and he delivereth out of the hand of the wicked." Something about preserving. He will preserve and he will keep me if I have a hate for what he hates. It's okay. He gave me permission to hate what he hates. I don't hate the people. I don't hate the person personally, but I could hate the sin, right? It's okay to hate the sin. I want to see all kinds of sinful people come in here. I want to see that person that's confused about their gender identity. I want somebody that could say, you know what? Maybe at a certain time they think it was okay to be homosexual and they could come in here and God could change them instantly. I want that to happen. I'm not going to sit here and pass judgment, but this is what they need right here. But it's not against the law of the word. Not yet in this country, but the bill is trying to pass legislation to get on the governor's desk to say if you are against that, and they say that includes the word of God, it's going to be removed. What am I taking for granted? I have so much of it. I'm not here to try to beat anybody up, because I believe for the majority of us, we have an appreciation for the word of God. What God is trying to get our attention, don't take it for granted. This is serious stuff. I need to feed myself spiritually, and I can't just feed, Brother Wells, he keeps bringing this up. I can't just feed myself spiritually on every Wednesday and every Sunday. I have to be fed every day. I need this. I don't know. There's some things that I listen to. I need to hear the word of God. I need to read the word of God. I have to have it to sustain me. This world is so dark. I need this light in my life. I need it in my heart. I need to get it through the day. Give me this day, my daily bread. I got to have it. We need to have a passion for the word of God. We don't need to be quiet about the word of God. We need a revival of boldness for the word of God. I don't hate nobody. God was slow to condemn and to pass judgment on nations because, don't you see that the lost, Nineveh, I want to save that nation. I want to save that country. It was the city of Nineveh. I want to save those people. In our human nature, we want to pass judgment. But God says, there's 120,000 in there. I have compassion for them. I'm sold to them. I don't hate them. I hate the sin. I want you to hate the sin so you can have boundaries in your life. I want you to, this has to be preserved. If this isn't preserved now, how are our kids going to get it? Is everything okay to them? They have to know some things are not right. There's a lot of leniency towards tolerance. I want to tolerate this. I want to tolerate this behavior. I want to tolerate this lifestyle. No, I am not going to tolerate that. I am not going to welcome that thought. That's not how I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to raise my child. I have three girls. I have eight. I have extra chairs around the table. I plan on someday for them to be with their future husbands coming to fill up that table of all those chairs with men. Not with, if this is uncomfortable in the church, God help us. I literally was trembling before I came to church, not because I was afraid to come and stand before you tonight, but I was trembling because of the fear of the Lord. I was just shaking. I said, Lord, I don't even have the strength to get ready here. And God says, the fear of the Lord. I need to read that verse again. What is the fear of the Lord? Brother Wallace, do you have that up there? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And they that love the Lord hate evil. He's going to preserve us. That reverence, that holy fear of him, that honor of him, he's going to preserve us. I want to know what he hates, and the only way I'm going to know it is to get in the Word of God. I have to get on a daily. We live in a fast-paced world, but we have Bible apps, and they all have audio on them. We could listen to them 30, 40 minutes on the way to work every day. We could get through the whole Bible in just about 3 months, easily. Any one of us could. Even if you got a 20, 30-minute ride to work every day, we can get through the Bible in 3 months just listening to audio. But you know what? There's times when I've listened to the Word of God on my way to work, and I get through John, the book of John, and I would just weep. Now, man, he had a heart for God. He was, oh, my goodness. What a tender heart he had for Jesus. Wow. But that I didn't know that unless I was listening to the Word of God. God spoke to his people through prophets. And I'm going through those major and minor prophets in the Old Testament here at the end of the year. We're kind of closing in. We're getting through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And one of them is Amos. In Amos, God would show him certain things. He goes, I want to show you this. I want to show you these grasshoppers. And this is what this means. And I want to show you what this fire is. And this is what this means. I want to show you this plumb line. I want to explain to you what this means. But almost every one of these prophets were God's mouthpiece to get God's people to turn back to him. It was continually. You want to listen to, they had all had one thing in common. Just turn your heart back to God. God doesn't want to pass judgment on you. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do some great things in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. But he wants you to turn, most importantly, he wants you to turn your heart back to him. And that was the common thing that every prophet would say. Turn your heart back to God. They refuse to. They're stubborn. They're going to do this, so I have to punish you. I have to punish you for a while, and then I'm going to restore you. Then I'm going to pass judgment on those who did what they did to you. And it seems like a thing that is like a cycle that the people did. In their humanity, they did it over and over again. What do we do in our humanity that we do over and over again, that we repeat ourselves? Why do we put ourselves in the same position we did maybe a year or two ago? Me too. I need to change my habits. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll wait till the end of the year. We start this New Year's resolution. I got thinking, you know what? If I'm not determined to make up my mind right now, I will not be determined to get through the month of January into the month of February. And that goes with anything. It said in chapter 8, verse 11, Amos said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but for the hearing of the words of God." I know that there was a period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years of things dropped off, but this got my attention. They're pressing at the door, Brother Al. They want what we take for granted, what we have so much of. We have a lot of this. We have it at our fingertips so much to where we feel like, you know what? I'll get to it when I get to it because it's so accessible. But there's only 16 regular season games of the year. And everybody's doing this. Nobody is sitting on the edge of their seat. Everybody's anticipating the big play. When's the last time, I'm saying this for myself, when's the last time I sat on the edge of my seat on a Sunday morning before service started, just waiting to hear a word from the Lord? I need to hear what God has to say. I'm anticipating God to do something. I've been praying. I've been fasting for my pastor because I want the Lord to use him. And he doesn't need to pray and fast on his own, but we need to pray and fast for him so God can use him. There's times where his schedule is so busy, he's going to get sidetracked with things. He's going to get those phone calls. He's got to counsel people. He doesn't have time to do all that. He doesn't have the energy to do all that. But you know what? If you feel like God's not using you enough, be used by God in prayer. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him, for him to bring the word of God on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, I've been praying, I've been fasting. One of those intercessors, those secret service people in the kingdom of God that have those black glasses on, you don't know that where they're at, but they're there. They're kind of behind the scenes, they're in the bushes, you don't see them. Nobody knows where you are, but God knows you. He knows, and he values it, and he uses it, and he honors people that get into intercessory prayer. I want to hear the word of the Lord, and I want to be anxious for it again, Brother Yale. I want to hear it. I want to be so anxious that I'm laying awake at night, and I can't fall asleep on a Saturday night, because what is God going to say to his people Sunday morning? I want to hunger for the word of the Lord. I need my appetite back. I'm tired of feeling off. I'm tired of feeling like the rest of the world. I don't want to be like the rest of the world. I don't want to feel like the rest of the world. I don't want to be normal, be like everybody else. God has called me away from that. He called me far from that. I don't want to be nothing like that. They want something that they can see that they need a change. I want that change. There's something about enthusiasm and excitement when you get in an arena of 70 to 80, 90,000 people. What if there was an enthusiasm and an excitement and an expectation when we get together before we get to the house of God? God is going to do something amazing Sunday morning. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm anticipating because I have an appetite for the word, to hear the words of the Lord, and I am not satisfied. I've lost sleep. I've lost my appetite. I didn't just go on a purposeful hunger. I just lost my physical hunger and appetite for this human flesh, and I just want to hear a word from the Lord. We need something to get just so contagious. I looked this up a long time ago, and it was is anybody ever heard of what a crown fire is? A crown fire is a forest fire. A crown fire in a forest is fire at the top of the trees in a forest. And it's able to spread, and it's able to also jump from one tree to another. It could even cross the street of a road. You can have a tree totally burnt down here, and the one next to it look like it got untouched. But a fire and a fervency for the word, the hunger for the word of God. There may not be everybody that may come to the house of God have a hunger for the for the word of God. But I believe that there's enough of us to where it could spread. It could get a little contagious, or we can have that anticipation on a Saturday night where you're thinking, man, why am I thinking this way? It's Saturday night. Maybe I should go out to dinner. I should just be enjoying things or having fun with family. But I can't. I'm consumed by what God is going to do because I have an anticipation, and I'm eagerly waiting to hear what the word of the Lord is going to be when I get into the house of God. I want to hunger and thirst for the word of God throughout my day. I want him to speak to my spirit. I want him to speak like nobody else can hear. Lord, Lord, this is your servant. I'm standing here and I'm listening. I've heard you personally call my name. You know my name. You knew me when I was in my mother's womb. Lord, you paid attention to me then. You paid attention to me when I wasn't paying attention to you. I just want to pay some attention to you. I want to give you all my attention. I saw something. When God showed me something, when I saw people, more people, whoa, so many people, that you could not even put in this building, but it was this church body. And it was a group of people, and they had these folding chairs, and there was like 20, 30 of them sitting there, and it looked like there was a Sunday school teacher teaching, and you know how these Sunday school teachers teach? They teach with books, you know, with pictures and that. But I saw people of all ages sitting in these chairs, these fold-up chairs, and I saw a hunger for the word of God. I believe that there's going to be a hunger and a revival of a hunger for the word of God. I believe it. I don't know how he's going to do it, Brother Kill. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to spark it totally. I don't know if it's our anticipation that's going to be contagious, that's going to cause us to have this hunger for the word of God. I don't know. But I can't take it for granted anymore. And this is good intentions. But it caused me to almost be like a glutton. You know, it's like a smorgasbord. I could just take it. It's there. I could get on YouTube and I could watch sermons night and day. I could listen to them for the rest of my life. There's so many on there. So why do we really need to, you know, it's always here. But God gave us gifts of the Spirit, the word of prophecy, tongues and interpretation. He gave the body of this church to operate in this, and those are spoken things. Those are God operating in vocal gifts where he wants to speak to and through us. If we could just take a moment, if we could stand. I'm not saying to pray. I'm not telling you how to pray. But if we could just attentively listen, desire to hear God speak. God has spoken to Samuel three times. And he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Do we have a heart? Is our heart open to hear the voice of God? Lord, forgive me for taking it for granted. It's always there, and I walk past it. It's in my closet. It's on the bookshelf. I walk past it by the front door. It's on every app and to every tablet, Lord. We need to practice this, to wait on God continually. Wait on Him. He's literally standing in the house. He was standing over Samuel. He called him by name. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. May it never be barren here in the house of God on the corner of Eddy and Third to hearing the words of the Lord. I honestly didn't think that was going to take more than 5 or 10 minutes. But God filled His time and space. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you need to head home, if you just need to pray for a few minutes, go home and pray. If we could just be in one mind and one accord, just get together, anticipate God is going to speak. Let those words be precious when we hear it. It's profitable for us. It's profitable for us if it's for encouragement. It's profitable for us if it's for rebuke, for correction. For God to speak however He wants to speak to us, whatever He wants to say, it's for our benefit. There's times of edification and there's times of correction. Lord, I just want to hear the words of the Lord, what He has to say. If we could just close and take a moment in prayer. That we could be at one mind and one accord. And just pray for the next few days for this Sunday morning service. Lord, may there be an anticipation, Lord, and a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to hear Your words. Lord, is it a hunger? Lord, You said You're going to bring a famine to people, Lord, for the words of Lord. Lord, we have Your written word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we need to hear Your word. We need to hear between our ears, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Lord. We need faith, Lord, in this place, Lord. We need faith, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, to see things happen that have never been done here before in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We need to hear the word of God more than ever, Lord. We need to hear You, Lord, if it's your rebuke tonight, if it's a word of encouragement, Lord, whatever it be, Lord. Lord, your servant, Lord, is here, Lord, standing, Lord. To hear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I know is 380 people missed out on something huge, a huge point in history, because they put God in a box. He said to wait. Wait for the promise. And 120 said, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I encourage you to take everything with you tonight that you've heard here. If you need to go home, go home. If you want to pray a while, you can pray a while. But you're dismissed. In Jesus' name.